LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. What a show we have for you today. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition in studio with me. And we're also joined by Jonathan Williams. He's the Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of Policy American Legislative Exchange Council. And he's a co-author of the 2021 Loeffler-Allick Report on Economic Freedom, Grading America's 50 Governors. Wow, that's going to be interesting. Hi, Carla. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so glad that my friend Jonathan is on with us today.
Jonathan, can you hear us loud and clear?
I sure can, and thanks for having me on. Greetings from the land of make-believe out here in Washington, D.C.
The land of make-believe. Well, you're talking to the land of enchantment, the land of magic, right?
That's right.
Hey, we have the 55th legislative session in New Mexico started today. And I'm hoping there's some magic that comes out of there, Carla, but you have some real concerns about what's going on in this legislative session.
Oh my gosh, pages and pages of them. But I'll tell you, you know, it all goes back to why we have Jonathan on the radio with us today. And that goes to our governor. So what we're going to talk about later is the governor's agenda and what that's going to mean to New Mexicans, because it's really not good news. But let's talk about the governor.
Jonathan, we have an old saying in New Mexico, and that is lately, by the way, this is baffling to all of us. I don't care if somebody's Republican or Democrat. I don't care if the University of New Mexico Lobo basketball coach is a Democrat or Republican, but I do care what their record is and whether they're coaching well. We've had the same party in our state 61 out of the last 90 years control things in New Mexico, and we are at the top of every bad list and the bottom of every good list. Tell us about how you rank our governor.
Well, I wish I had better news for you, unfortunately, but your governor ranks dead last in our new report on when we grade governors on their approach to economic freedom. And we look at various things such as their fiscal policy, their economic performance and policy, and then their executive policy. And we put those items together to give a comprehensive ranking, along with the great economist Arthur Laffer, who, of course, was President Reagan's economic advisor. And we come up with this ranking. This is the second year now we've put together this governor's report. And this is the first time, though, that your governor is ranked dead last. And so there's a lot of takeaways from that, but it's essentially looking at the record, the outcomes of what not just the rhetoric, but actually the policy and what that it has produced, or in the case of New Mexico, not produced very many good things when it comes to unemployment rates, when it comes to the overall state of the economy, whether you look at just so many different ways that we break it out in the report. I know that we can get into more details there, whether it's unemployment policy, whether it's education, whether it's the loss of population relative to the rest of the country, just so many ways that you can unfortunately put that stamp of what's happened in New Mexico on bad policymaking, and you have to start to some degree with the chief executive in the state.
And Jonathan, you're not really talking about partisan politics. You're talking about what's good for the people of the state, aren't you?
That's exactly right. That's such an important point that in our report, we actually have some Republican governors that rank in the bottom, you know, couple of tiers of our report. And we actually have this year a Democrat governor, a state that's close to home there in New Mexico, up in Colorado, Jared Polis, who's actually called for the elimination of Colorado's income tax. Believe it or not, that is a Democrat governor that ranks in our top 10. So this report is all about what's good for states, what's good for the economy, what's good public policy, and it's not about certainly the politics of it.
Well, I'm going to have Carla clarify this, but we're in a state where we've received a lot of federal funding, stimulus money that has not been spent. There's a surplus of that money. And Carla would love for that to be spent on developing businesses and rescuing businesses and helping our economy get better. But instead, and we'll get to the governor's agenda a little bit later, and I'm hoping, Jonathan, you can stay with us after your initial comments, because I'd love for you to say, you know, as we go through that, some of the things that may be part of your ranking. But Carla, I guess as Jonathan has introduced himself and talked about this last place ranking for our governor, how have you gotten to know Jonathan, and what do you talk about as you are trying to help the governor? I mean, I think you are trying to help the governor. You're not sending her information to hurt her. You're trying to get her to see the light. Is that right?
Absolutely. Even during COVID, when she didn't have a safe reopening plan for the state, we sent her one. We wrote one. We tried to help get her started on that because we knew it was going to be detrimental. No, we want the best for New Mexico. I'm a native New Mexican, and I am tired of the ratings that we have from the governor to every other thing that we're measured against other states. You know, when you look at this report that Jonathan just did, we are surrounded by five-star states. We're a one-star state, our governor. So Utah was ranked number 2, Colorado 4, Arizona number 8, Texas number 10. And then Oklahoma, that barely touches us, that's a 4-star, and they were rated number 16, their governor. And here we are dead last. And, you know, every measure that you look at in New Mexico, that's how it ranks. We're surrounded by stellar states with good economic policy for the most part, and we're failing.
You know, Jonathan, when you listen to Carla point those statistics out, you mentioned Dr. Arthur Laffer. Does a governor like Michelle Lujan Grisham not call someone like Dr. Laffer, or call someone like you and say, look, I'm thinking about this public policy. What do you think of that? Don't they seek those best practices and those ideas from people in the know like yourself?
Well, unfortunately, they have not in the past, and that's something we're always happy to do, just as Carl said, and we want to see the best, not just from New Mexico, from our national vantage point. We want to see the best for every single state, and we want to avail ourselves as a nonpartisan resource with good public policy ideas, and we can help talk through best practices or, you know, avoiding mistakes that have happened in other states under both parties' controls at some point. Now, and that's something we would very much love to do for everybody across the board. You know, this isn't a, you know, Republican, Democrat, you know, issue. This is a up or down issue when it comes to how successful states can be and how much resource there is out there. You know, we have these 50 laboratories of democracy. There's a lot of learning to be done in terms of what works and what doesn't work. And that's what we're all about. And we welcome the governor and governors across the country to reach out in just a cooperative spirit to say, what would it take to make our state more prosperous and more competitive?
Well, and I'm constantly baffled at the use of the word science as it applies to closing businesses, locking places down. You know, I guess I have big concerns because I've been raised in an education system that's taught the merits of, science and research. And then they want to talk about evolution like that's somehow scientific. And it's been so debunked. I just think anytime the government uses science, they're actually – That's just a word. I don't think there's any empirical evidence to support anything. I'm fascinated with what you just said, that we have 50 laboratories of democracy. There are best practices that you can look at every state. This isn't rocket surgery like George W. Bush would have said.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You look at, you know, even we just saw the new census numbers come out from the last big migration wave over the last year, right? And, you know, where is it that people are voting with their feet towards? It's states that value economic freedom, value the ideas that Carla advocates for there for the business community. It's states like Texas and Arizona and Florida, and states that value lower taxes and economic freedom. And where are people leaving? They're leaving beautiful California. They're leaving New York. They're leaving Illinois. It's pretty clear what works across these states, but you really have to take off the partisan blinders in some cases and actually see what is working and why things are working in the 50 states.
Yeah, and Jonathan, I'm excited to really get to know about your work and to really familiarize myself with your report. How can our listeners access your report and read what you have to say about the 50 governors in our country?
Well, it's all available for a free download at our website on the main page at alec.org. That's ALEC.org.
Well, I think it's fascinating. Now, have you worked on that report in the past couple years?
That's right. This is our second edition of the report. We kicked it off just at the start of the pandemic, and in a way, as a way to judge the various governors' differences on their responses to the pandemic. And then we transitioned it, obviously, this year into a little bit more of a normal policy environment than we saw in 2020. But this is the second year that we put together the report, co-authored with Arthur Laffer and Stephen Moore and Donna Ardoin.
So, again, I want to point out to our listeners that you're not a conservative think tank trying to figure out ways to discredit a Democrat governor.
No, that's right. We are not looking to discredit a Republican, Democrat governor, any governor for that matter. We are looking to provide best practices and solutions for how to make states more prosperous, more successful, and whether that governor has a D or an R after their name matters none to us. And in the case of Jared Polis that Carla was talking about, top five ranking in our report, somebody who called for the elimination of their personal income tax, and we're very proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and when again, going back to the ratings, this is fascinating to me. So Jonathan mentioned that they were prompted to do this as a result of how the governors handled COVID. Well, if you look at the rating this year, New Mexico rated 50, our governor, and our response was the most drastic and longest lockdown among many states in the U.S. Look at the number one state governor, that's Kristi Noem in South Dakota. There were zero lockdowns. She didn't mandate that they close. She brought them information about COVID and asked them to respond appropriately. She treated them like adults. And that is just the stark difference between the governor rated number one and our governor rated number 50 in that response. But it carries forward in a lot of their economic policies as well. Don't you agree with that, Jonathan?
No, that's such an important point, Carla, in that I recently had a chance to sit down with Governor Noem and interview her for this report, and she was very honored, obviously, to receive the number one ranking and came and recently spoke to our ALEC members. And, you know, that is such a stark contrast of differences that we've seen between governors like her and governors like yours, unfortunately, and just anybody top versus bottom ranking. And she did want to empower individuals and empower businesses to be able to manage their own circumstances and to be able to get through things safely. But she certainly did everything she could to keep the heavy hand of government off of individuals and families and businesses. And of course, the proof's in the pudding. Once again, South Dakota, one of the very lowest unemployment rates in the country today. In fact, I think the governor outlined that there were less than 1,000 people in the entire state currently on unemployment benefits in the state of South Dakota. So, I mean, that's what real leadership and real decisive policymaking results in. And look at, you just can't argue with those results.
Wow, this is fascinating information. Jonathan, I'm hoping you can stay with us for the next segment. We need to take about a two-minute break and to say thank you to our sponsors. We have Carla Sontag and Jonathan Williams with us today on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, remember it's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers, commercial and residential property management. Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
If couples learned anything this past year, it's that living together doesn't always create feelings of togetherness. Well, Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway is back to help you rediscover romance and reconnect in new ways. And now through January 24th, registrations are 50% off. Experience what millions of couples have called the restart their marriage needed. Join us at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort in Albuquerque on February 18th. Register now and save 50% at weekendtoremember.com.
KLYT welcomes this weekend to remember.
Mid-high and high school students come to the mountains surrounding Pagosa Springs, Colorado for 3 days of hanging out, playing games, and waiting on God through prayer, worship, and Bible teaching February 19th through the 21st. Spectrum believes that when we take time to listen to God, He will provide what we need, refreshed lives, refocused vision, and restored relationships. Let's seek peace on the mountain together. Details at calvarynm.church/events.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Jonathan Williams is the Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of Policy American Legislative Exchange Council, and he's the co-author of the 2021 Loeffler-Allick Report on Economic Freedom, Grading America's 50 Governors. We've had a chance to talk with him a little bit. And Carla Sontag, the founder and executive director of the New Mexico Business Coalition, in studio with me. Jonathan, I have a question, and I kind of ran this by Carla during the break. It's maybe an unusual question. I know we're talking about whether the political, public service, people in public service in our country are listening to what you have to say, but I kind of want to know why I haven't heard the media pick up on anything that you've published. It seems like the media have a whole different agenda rather than a reporting the objective facts, if you will.
Well, it's a very good question, and you know, a lot of times the some of the studies that come out from those that are on maybe the free market side of things, from a principled solution-based idea set, a lot of times don't get the coverage that they need to get. Or in a lot of ways, like I could say this from experience in the D.C. media, for instance, so much attention gets paid to those things that are overtly political and things that are kind of the horse race politics of the day, that some of these even more important, I would argue, discussions around what nonpartisan policymaking should be like and the things that are make the success or failure of states or even here in the federal government, those things unfortunately take a little bit lower priority to the political-based media. So I think there's a little bit, there's certainly anti-conservative bias, I think, in the media, not only in D.C., but in the state capitals in a lot of degrees. But then I think you just get the preference for let's cover the political story. And this policy story oftentimes is boring to some, and they don't want to consider it.
Yeah, well, and you've given us access to the Loeffler-Allick Report on Economic Freedom, Grading America's 50 Governors. How about access to the information that you put out on a regular basis through your organization?
Well, we do put out a good deal of information, as Carla knows well, as we've worked so well together over the years, and I've had the privilege of coming out many times to speak in New Mexico for the Business Coalition and their events. But we put together so many different updates, whether it's throughout our 10 different policymaking task forces that look at things, everything from energy policy to healthcare to tax and fiscal. We look at the book I write every year with Art Laffer and Steve Moore, in addition to the governor's report, is called Rich States, Poor States, that also looks at the economic policies of states and just how Americans continue to vote with their feet towards lower tax states and states that value economic freedom. But ALEC.org is a great repository that anybody that cares about good public policy will have a lot of time, good time looking through the various resources that we have available, all available for free for download for those who are interested.
Jonathan, do you feel like voters are interested in educating themselves? At least in New Mexico, this year is going to be a critical time. We have all of our legislative representatives up for re-election. We have the governor's office up for re-election. And I just try to encourage people not to just sit on the couch and let things happen, but to get involved. The audience that you're addressing today is primarily the faith community because we're a Christian radio station. We don't have a religious program or anything. We don't mind telling people that we believe in Jesus, but at the same time, we want people to get out and vote. We don't tell them how to think either. I mean, we're trying to say, look at your Bible, look at places like the ALEC report, and make your own decisions. But I sometimes think that we're not as successful as I would like to see us be in getting people to actually research what's going on in our country.
Well, you know, what's going on in our country is scary right now. And there's obviously trillions more of taxes and spending here that's still under discussion federally. We've got some huge problems with American competitiveness, reversing a lot of the gains that we made in the Trump years. We've got the inflation. We've got the supply side issues with supply chain. But when it comes to the state level, I tend to think that, you know, so much more difference can be made with when people get engaged, whether I don't care how they get engaged, like you said, and it could be with any political party that they'd like, but to stay engaged with the issues that matter. We've seen it across the country when school boards and parents need to be involved with their kids' education. Of course, here in Virginia, where I live, that was something that swung our governor's race just a number of weeks ago towards Republican Glenn Youngkin, who just got sworn into office as our new governor this weekend. It was because former Governor McAuliffe went out there and said parents shouldn't be involved with their kids' education. But I think we're going to see more and more involvement in local levels of government for that reason. People have been looking over their kids' shoulder for the better part of the last couple of years that have been doing online virtual learning at home. And they're starting to ask questions about curriculum and why are they being taught this? And I think that's going to inherently increase engagement in local levels of government. But then, of course, being a state level guy myself, I'm just so impressed by the dedication for people like Carla and my friend Jim Townsend there in New Mexico and those that fight the good fight every single day and fight defense in a lot of cases in Santa Fe. But in state capitals across the country, stay engaged where even a few discussions with your state lawmaker can really help educate them on people's views on issues, where members of Congress may not pay attention to a few phone calls here or there. It can make a big difference when it comes to issues that really do matter for the future of New Mexico and states across the country.
And at the local level in New Mexico, if you really want to follow closely what's happening in this 30-day session, I would encourage you to sign up for the emails at the New Mexico Business Coalition. That's at nmbizcoalition.org. There's no charge for those emails, and we're going to keep you tuned up on what's happening up there. We're also going to make it really easy for you to get involved and to voice your opinion. In about a minute, we will have calls to action done. Take about a minute of your time to contact the legislators that are the decision makers on that issue, and you can tell them what you think in a short amount of time and make a huge difference. We have been doing this for years. We make it easy for you, but I'll tell you what, they listen.
And Carla, when you say you make it easy, let's talk about that logistically a little bit, because if you sign up for emails, again, you are a nonprofit coalition of businesses and right. You have people that you're supported by your membership. You don't get government funding and other kinds of things. People can make donations or they can join. But even if they don't do either of those two things, you're still willing to provide them information happening at the state legislature. You will write out a way that they can click on it and that message will go to their representative based on where they live, right?
Right. So we already have it pre-programmed and we'll write a short letter. You can change it. You can completely delete the letter if you want. The important thing is it's already pre-programmed to go specifically to your state representative and senator. And usually we're copying the governor on this as well, because she's going to usually have an opportunity, except on constitutional amendments, to sign it into law if it passes. So your opinion is important, and absolutely you do not need to contribute or join us in order to be involved with us.
Jonathan, I have kind of a twofold question, because we've got about 6 minutes left with you. And my question is really this. In the Christian community, in the faith community, we recognize that we all do things wrong. Myself personally, I've got a couple of older men, some women that are, I guess, for lack of a better term, they have earned the right to speak into my life. And so when I blow it, they make sure I know in a loving way, and I'm able to frequently change my opinion or go a different direction when I've done the wrong thing. I don't see politicians doing that. Have you ever seen that, where somebody does something one way and then maybe they get some information from you or your organization and they go, yeah, I think this is a great idea. Let's go that direction. Have you ever seen that happen?
Well, you know, it's, you know, you do get a lot of great open-minded conversations with policymakers. You know, you hear the bad examples out there, certainly in Congress, where people are just dotting the wall on positions and have no kind of, even desire to kind of think through how they might have erred and how they might need to rethink things. But, you know, at the state level, we do see a lot of that where, you know, people will come to us to say, hey, this is how we've done things in the past here. We don't necessarily like the way that it's working. And, you know, what's your experience been in other states? And I think that's part of the great repository of information that we have at ALEC. And we've been around nearly 50 years as an organization. And so if we don't have a direct answer for somebody, I can guarantee you we can find probably the person who sponsored the policy or the bill in another state to help walk through what were the landmines that they overcame, what were the good ideas, what were the bad ideas. And I do think on average, the state legislators, the men and women out there that are members of ours that we work with, you know, they are very much open-minded and they're very down-to-earth, great grassroots people in a lot of cases, that they're farmers and ranchers and they're small business owners. And they're not in it to say, I've got all the answers. They're in it to actually have a legitimate pursuit of what good ideas look like. And that's why people want to serve in the state legislature in many cases. Not that they're getting rich. In some cases, they, you know, make, you know, in New Hampshire, they make $100 a year for their salary. I'm not even making that up. That's legitimately, that is $100 a year salary. People are not doing this for the money. They're doing it for public service. And so as a result, I think you see a lot more open-mindedness and just looking for the truth, which is something that is certainly lacking here in Washington many times.
I'm going to ask you to set the stage for us, Jonathan. We'll let you go after this segment, but you have rated all 50 governors in the United States, and you've given us that perspective, but you've rated our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, number 50. What are some of the criteria you used to give her that grade?
Well, there's several different categories. When you go to our website and take a look at the report, we have two pages based on New Mexico and the results. And so we look at three broad areas, such as fiscal, economic, and executive policy. But to break those out, what their things are, for instance, education freedom, welfare dependency, union control, interstate migration, education quality, the unemployment rate and policies, and then things like federal unemployment benefits, taxes, debt, spending per capita. But one of the things that we do in each one of the governor's pages, as you'll see, is we go to what the total government take is of the economy, basically, the total government spending. And then we look at a line going back, you know, 10 years, to chart the course of spending in New Mexico and other states. And then we look at, as your governor's inauguration date, what's happened to the growth of government since then. And unfortunately, you'll see one of the most stark things, I think, in the New Mexico page in our report is just how the government's growth has really exploded since Governor Lon Grisham has been inaugurated. And so I think that's something that really stuck out to me, in addition to just some of the policy categories that we ranked that I just went through. Just looking at that growth and size and scope of government since the inauguration date is just something that really stands out.
Well, Jonathan, I so much appreciate you spending the time with us today, and you've kind of set the stage for me to talk to Carla for our next half hour about what's going on, what the governor plans on introducing in our next legislative session. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Jonathan Williams is the Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of Policy American Legislative Exchange Council. He's also the co-author of the 2021 Loeffler-Alec Report on Economic Freedom, Grading America's 50 Governors. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, thanks so much. I wish I had better news, but I know that you guys will continue to fight the good fight, and great to be with you. Thanks so much.
We're blessed to have you, and I hope you'll consider coming back on the program with it. It was really interesting. We're going to be back with Carla Sontag, founder and executive director of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Stay with us.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and we care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acchkids.org, or call 898-5520.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
You made a statement to me in prior shows about how efficient a swamp cooler is compared to refrigerated air. I think the analysis was 20 degrees lower than the temperature outside.
That's one of the best swamp coolers in the world. We'll get you a 20 degree.
So if it's 100 outside, you're going to still be 80 in your house, even if your swamp cooler is working ideally.
Right, but it's the process of evaporation, so it feels a lot cooler than you think it is. There's a thing called temperature, and then there's a thing called sensible temperature.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I love the story in John 2 where Jesus turns water into wine, because the Bible tells us very clearly why Jesus was at a wedding, which is immediately what all of us think. Why is Jesus at a wedding? He's only got 3.5 years to save the world from hell and sin and the devil. So what's he doing at a wedding reception doing the Macarena with Peter and John? Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, which, by the way, I think Thomas and Bartholomew and James and John could really put it away. And they being Jesus's plus 12, yeah, that would add up. But Jesus was there because he was invited. Here's the question I want to leave you with. Have you invited Jesus into your wedding, into your marriage, into your home? The Bible says if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So today, invite him in.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. We are back with Carla Sontag. She's the CEO and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition and the executive director. And what else do you do? You also have to clean the offices.
Yeah,
and what
I
else?
Do windows and floors. I do it.
What's that Larry guy doing over there?
He's doing everything that, you know, the mess I leave, he cleans up behind me. He's my wingman for sure.
Good stuff. And people don't know this. Larry is a former police officer, Albuquerque Police Department, and working with you closely with the New Mexico Business Coalition. You are a nonprofit organization. You try to provide information for people, especially voters, so that they can stay. You also do... If you own a business, if you're a business owner, and by the way, there's probably as many Democrat business owners as there are Republicans.
Oh, sure.
Isn't everybody's concern kind of the same?
Yes.
And they get best practices from you, and you treat everybody. You are actually for the governor, too, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You want her to be successful.
I do, because if she's successful, the state is successful, we're all going to be successful.
But I know that, you know, we read things like this. You know, ranking last. I mean, let's just say that, you know, you're the governor and you read this and you go through the objective criteria, or at least the criteria that Jonathan presented. I think that's fair. That's not like he's just out there to get you.
No. No.
He's comparing you to other governors. Don't you think about that? Isn't that something that is speaking into your life, and maybe you need to make some changes?
Well, you would hope so, because this is a really good guide that he put out. The other thing that he has done for about 13 or 14 years is called Rich States, Poor States, also with Arthur Laffer. He is the, they are the co-authors. And New Mexico does not fall dead last in that ranking. We have dropped significantly with this governor. And I think after this legislative session, unfortunately, if she gets some of these things passed that are on her agenda, we're going to drop some more in that rating.
The 55th legislative session started today. So you're going to be busy, busy, busy for the next 30 days or so. This is supposed to be a 30-day budget session, but there's a lot more on the governor's agenda that you know about. Tell us.
Oh, yeah. Well, she published her agenda, and if you want to see it, it is posted on our website at nmbizcoalition.org. And biz is B-I-Z, nmbizcoalition.org. And what we've done is posted her agenda with our comments about where we feel this fits in for New Mexico. And I'll tell you, one of the things that is of the utmost concern is the voters' rights bill that she is proposing, along with the Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse Oliver. Both of them are up for election this cycle. And this law is worse than the federal law that's being proposed, and it would be very, very detrimental. I think this is the number one issue that we need to be on alert and people need to pay attention to. One thing that people's eyes generally glaze over, they just don't care, but I got to tell you, you got to care. They're talking about 16-year-olds voting, felons having the right, if they're not incarcerated at the time, to vote. That is a right they gave up when they committed the felony, and that hasn't changed, but that's what they're trying to change. They're extending the length of time that voting can go on, and honestly, we don't need any more time. There's a lot of different issues in this bill that you should look at. We will be working on it, and we will have calls to action to help you voice your opinion to legislators.
Well, Carla, it sounds really good. What is coming out of the governor's office that she's trying to help more people vote and make it easier to vote. But you suspect her motives are different than that.
Well, she's opening up opportunities where it is going to be challenging, to say the least, to keep control over the process and to make sure, because every voter wants to know, if you go in to vote, or you vote absentee, you want to know there's controls in place, and you want to know that your vote matters and that it's logged in. It measures who you want to be in control of the state. This is opening it up to too many different issues that I think dilutes the democracy and the democratic process that we have. That's the concern.
Well, I have concerns about simple things like, where can you go and without having an ID available, you know, your driver's license or a student ID. I mean, that's just something that is common to our democracy, is
right,
to make sure, verify you are who you say you are.
Right.
Unfortunately, there are people that are out there committing fraud. I don't know who has not been affected by fraud. Online fraud is just really prevalent. I have my elderly parents are like bombarded with scams on a daily basis. I feel so bad for people who are elderly in this country because they are just scammed, scammed, scammed. And I have to think that the way our whole country was designed, our forefathers, again, not all Christian people, some were, some weren't, but they came together as a coalition. And they recognized something that was very common. People have sin in their lives. People have selfishness. So they created a government that would have checks and balances to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yes.
Isn't that not right?
That's right.
And so they recognized human nature as being flawed, and they came up with what I think is just a fascinating way to protect ourselves from ourselves. But it seems like the agenda, maybe even of our governor, is to take away those checks and balances.
That does seem to be a prevalent underlying issue when you look at her agenda. And then on other parts of the agenda, she's trying to incorporate much more rigid controls over the people. For example, on the clean standards for automobiles, you know, all that's going to do, when you put these standards in that are higher and more stringent than even California, you're going to drive our auto industry out of our state, right? You're just going to cross the border and go buy a vehicle that you want to drive. You're not going to be subject to some of these incredible controls that she's putting on people. If you want to do it voluntarily, then go for it. You should do that. But these dictates are what is hurting a lot of people.
Well, I know that our state has, I mean, I know Jonathan's talking to us about education and probably realizes that New Mexico is ranked last in education in the country. That's baffling to me. We have public policy going on and leadership in our schools throughout New Mexico that we need. I know we have great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the majority of our teachers are right in line. But, for example, one of the proposals the governor has right now is to pay everybody more money.
Right.
But that's been happening actually for a couple of years, and the schools and our ratings are not getting better.
They're not. You know, if you have an employee that's working in a business and you want to give them a raise, that typically comes with more requirements. They're going to have more of a job to do and higher standards. They've earned it. That's great. Give them the raise, but then you have expectations that go with it. We're not doing that, and we have not been doing that for a very long time. We don't have achievement requirements for our teachers and for our educational system, and as a result, we continue to fail. But who are we failing? We're failing our children. We're failing our future, because those kids should be our future. But what they're doing is getting the best education that they can, which is hard sometimes to get in New Mexico, and then they're leaving, and they're taking their skills someplace else because we don't have the jobs. And it all goes, it's a cyclical kind of issue that we're in. We're not creating a job force, and therefore we're not having businesses that want to grow or can grow here, and businesses not likely to come here because they can't see proper education for the kids. And so it's great to pay people what they are due. But I can tell you, we already pay a lot more than surrounding states who have higher standards than we do. And they're graduating more kids, and their kids are better educated. There is not a match between the skills of our teachers and the output of our children. And we've got to correlate that.
There's an article in the Albuquerque Journal this morning about the literal billions of dollars that's about to be spent on early childhood education in the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
And I know that there's actually a department now with the state of New Mexico that's in charge of early childhood education, but I haven't seen, I'd love for somebody to go, yeah, we went to this state and they had this crazy plan that is really working well and there's best practices and we're going to adopt that.
Right.
We don't ever do that.
No. And you know, that's one of the biggest things that we do when you talk about the governor's success, the state's success. We are constantly taking those good measures that work in other states, saying, can we look at this? Can we look at why other states are succeeding and we're not? We don't have to recreate the wheel. Let's look at what is working in another state and let's bring it here and try to make it work here, because we've got to do something different, right? We're just living the definition of insanity.
Yes. So, Carla, there's going to be introduced a bill for voters to allow felons to vote for our I shouldn't say for our voters, for our legislators to adopt this policy. What should our listeners do who are listening right now that have concerns about that? Let me give you an example of a very conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation. We had Mike Howell, who is part of their government relations team, and he was on the show last week. And let me just give you an example from an article I read there. Claim number one by the Democratic Party about Republicans is that Republicans want to make it difficult for millions of Americans to vote. That's the claim. Here's the quote. This is from Kamala Harris, our vice president. Across our nation, anti-voter laws could make it more difficult for as many as 55 million Americans to vote. That is one out of six people in our country. Again, quoted directly from Kamala Harris. The Heritage Foundation rates that statement for facts as false They say election reforms passed in states like Georgia and Texas have made it easier to vote and harder to cheat. Mm-hmm. They protect voters by helping guarantee the integrity and security of the election process. Again, preventing fraud. Reforms such as voter ID do not suppress anyone's vote, as shown by publicity or publicly available turnout data, such as reforms are overwhelmingly supported by voters, regardless of race or party. The claim that these reforms will prevent 55 million Americans from voting is absurd and has no basis in fact whatsoever. There is not one scintilla, I don't know what that word is, of evidence to support such an irrational claim. And this is the Heritage Foundation's Hans von Spakovsky writing this article. So, again, I'm giving both sides. That's what our show is about. I want people to think about it. But I'm hoping that people will investigate these claims. And you're very concerned that this legislation could open up the floodgates for fraud.
Yes. And what I would encourage people to do, if you're listening, commit to 10 minutes a week, 30 if you can afford it, and get involved. Sign up for our emails. We try to be judicious in not sending you too many that you can't keep up with them. But the session is going to move fast. Legislation is going to move fast. There are a lot of tax increases and other regulation coming at you that you're going to want to need to know about. We are going to provide that information. So you don't have to do a lot of research. We'll do it for you and provide it to you.
Carla, in your preparation for today, you sent me 6 pages of notes. Now, what that means to me is we can't cover all of that, but you've committed yourself to being on the radio with me every day for the next month. How do you like that? I'm teasing you.
I don't think your listeners would like that.
No, I think they would, because this is – obviously, you don't have the time to do that, and we so much appreciate you do coming on the station as frequently as you do. But I know that this information is all available on your website.
Yes.
A lot of it is available. We're going to have another 10 minutes with you when we come back from this break, and we're going to talk about some of the other pieces of the governor's agenda in the next 30 days and how our listeners can get involved. We will be right back on ABQ Connect.
Hey, Westside, Pastor Drew here. If you are looking for a small church community plus world-class Bible teaching, I want to invite you to Calvary Church Westside. We're a family-focused Bible teaching church at Cores Montano. Calvary Church Westside, where church is family.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I love that the Bible tells us that Jesus has given to us the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. We in our lives today, you in your complicated life today, the carpool lane today, the stock market craziness that is your reality today, or the real estate, everything that's going on. I get it. It's all a lot. But we have power. The most powerful thing mankind ever built, as far as vehicles go, was the Saturn V launch vehicle that took the Apollo missions to the moon. 7.5 million pounds of thrust. It's impressive. But nothing can compare to the power that lives inside you. And as often as you ask God for a fresh filling, He's willing to give you power, energy, the dynamic resource on the inside on an invisible level to do everything you're called to do today.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLusko.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
How do we deal from a leadership hurt? And the answer will be very similar to the same way that we heal from a physical hurt. The first thing, number one, is this. What do? You have to acknowledge the problem exists. If you're injured, you have to say, I'm injured. You have to pay attention to it. If you got a problem in your organization, you have to. And honestly, leaders often don't do this. Because as leaders, many of us, we like to believe the best, and we're actually really good at self-deception. We often tell ourselves, like, things are fine, and we often ignore problems, and sometimes we just wait and hope things are going to get better. But they rarely get better by themselves. I tell our team this all the time, really important. I tell our team, many leaders could solve more problems if they weren't so busy denying them.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're thankful that you're listening today, and I find this really fascinating information. The 55th legislative session in the state of New Mexico has started today. 30-day session, supposed to be just budgets, but the governor has lots more on her agenda than just the budget.
She's got a huge agenda, and she's coming at you with tax increases, regulatory increases. And
but Carla, I just read that she's cutting the gross receipts tax. What do you mean there's tax increases?
Yes. So we float this balloon that she's all about business and helping the people in New Mexico, and she's going to cut gross receipts tax. It's 25 cents on $100. Now, you look at the inflation, the worst that we've seen in 40 years. I don't know where you're going to spend that quarter, but it's really smoke and mirrors. She's coming at you with some big increases, other taxes on other issues, a lot of them around the environment. Going to be a lot of green taxes and green initiatives. There'll be other regulatory issues that will increase your costs. So to me, that's still a tax because it is a way that the government is taking your money for their use. That's a tax. However they term it, doesn't matter. So we've got to be on high alert for that. There's going to be a lot to do with crime and criminal justice reforms, and that is a good thing. Quite unfortunately, the reason the state is in the situation that it is in is because of policies that this governor and this legislature have passed over the last couple of years. So now they have realized they have made gross errors in judgment on how they're treating criminals better than the people of New Mexico, and they're going to reverse course on some of that. We're glad to see that. We will be supporting those crime initiatives. We don't think they go far enough, but they are at least a step in the right direction.
So you're really talking about maybe a little bit of a mind change, which is what we've been talking about. Hey, there's a good idea. Business Coalition is encouraging the governor to do these things. But I do want to say, I know that you want all law enforcement agencies across the state to benefit. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing, not that I want to take anything away from them because they do a great job, but I keep hearing state police, state police, state police getting all the funding.
That's exactly right. And we've got a severe shortage in Albuquerque, but there are other municipalities that need help as well. But here's the thing. They really need to be looking at not just throwing money at recruiting and getting people on board. You need to be looking at the benefits and the pay to keep the officers so they will stay. Because recruiting doesn't matter if you're not developing them and keeping them on, right?
Yes.
And we need a lot more thought given to that. And I'm not seeing that in this legislation.
I think sometimes I make too many sports analogies, but that's just what I have to do because that's my background. But I'm thinking about NFL players. They're not able to go play in the NFL unless your name is Tom Brady for 20 years. Most of them have careers that are 6 years or less.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Players Association has tried to do is to make it so that when a player goes in the NFL, they get paid well, and when they're done, they don't necessarily have to work. And they're still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to start thinking about our police officers and the danger and the health that they have mentally and physically, et cetera, so that they can come in and work and still lead a good life when they're done. I mean,
yes.
Is that a fair analogy?
Well, it really is, because I can tell you that when my husband served 20 years with Albuquerque Police Department, when he was going through the academy, they told us the average lifespan of an officer when he retired. And remember, most of them were retiring in the late 40s, and their lifespan was about 6 years after retirement. So the stress is very high, and so you need to correlate the benefit and the pay to cover that stress and keep them on. They also, I can tell you, healthcare after they retire is the pits. We're on it. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That might be something that they can consider, that officers would like to see better care for when they get through their 20 or 25 years, that they have the care that they need. It doesn't always correlate to pay. It's got to be the benefits, and you need to look at what is the best package to offer officers that they're going to want to come onto the force and stay. One of the biggest detriments, though, is a bill that this legislature passed and the governor signed that makes it easier for individuals to sue an officer when they have done something in the line of duty. How would you like to be threatened with a lawsuit if you make a mistake under very trying and stressful times? You know, it's really not fair to our officers. They have not had to face that before. And that is the reason we're so short right now. Many of them have left the force.
Yeah, because they can go to other states that are competing with us for very quality people.
Yes.
And they don't have those issues in Texas. They don't have those issues in Colorado.
That's right. As long as they were not negligent, they can be held. They should be held harmless for what they do on the job. So you have a bad officer, you can have a bad officer. They need to be prosecuted, absolutely, and they don't need to be in the job.
But Carla, and you know Clarence Washington Sr.
Yes.
He's a local pastor. He's the author of Hijacked. I had him on the show yesterday. And, of course, we could address something, the accusations that there is systemic racism in our departments, our police departments around this country, is blatantly false.
Yes.
Do you have some people that have sinned in their lives? Absolutely. Yeah, they make mistakes. Is it tragic that George Floyd lost his life the way he did? Absolutely. I mean, it's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's one incident out of literally millions of public contact with police officers around the country with positive outcomes, then you pass legislation holding every police officer so you can sue them personally? I don't mean this arrogantly, but that is ridiculous.
It is. And it's harmed society in general in New Mexico because officers are leaving, they're retiring early or going to other departments, and we're left with a crime rate that is out of control and officers that don't want to work here. And you can't blame them.
So you're offering more money, but people don't want to come here because there's some foundational things that other departments very close to our state in high quality living areas. In other words, we're not competitive in recruiting police officers.
That's exactly right. And then look at our teachers. What is the problem? Why are our teachers quitting and leaving? And so you throw money at it. Is that going to make it better for them? Or is there a systemic problem within our education system? We know there is with the education of our children, but is there something wrong with the way we're treating our teachers? Why do they want to leave? Why do they not want to be here? They're paid better here than in some surrounding states. So there's got to be another problem. Are we looking for that? Or are we just going to throw money at it and think that'll fix it?
There's some data that I think Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation shared with us that I think the Albuquerque Public Schools are spending $18,500 right around there per student, which is one of the highest numbers in the country.
Yes.
And yet, and by the way, APS is not last in the country. They're higher than most districts around the state of New Mexico, but again, not high enough to bring New Mexico off the bottom of the pile.
Right, but you look at that spending. Why are teachers having to come out of pocket to buy supplies in their classroom? So that spending's going on per child, but it's not getting into the classroom.
Yeah, and I don't think it should take a year and then a legislative session to come up with ways to solve this problem. This just ought to be ongoing.
Yes.
And in a business, you have to, every day, you have to evaluate where you are, make changes. And we really need to change the way we do public policy so that it's more flexible.
That's right. If you're not in business constantly seeking to improve and to be better, then you're falling behind and you're going to lose your business. Well, this is where we see our government agencies going. We're about to lose them because they're going over the cliff.
Carla, one more time, your resources available at nmbizcoalition.org are available to everybody.
Yes. And we would encourage you to sign up, get our emails. If you want to be a member, we would love that support as well, or if you want to make a contribution. But more than anything, we want you involved and engaged in this legislative process. It's very, very critical right now. 30 days of your time, just a few minutes a day, you can get involved and make a difference.
You know, people say that we want to keep this beautiful state of ours clean and perfect, and we have environmental legislation out there. You're going to have all of those things available for people to evaluate on your website.
Yeah, it's coming at you. nmbizcoalition.org.
The Lord be with you the next 30 days, Carla. Thanks
you.
For being with us.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200.
Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.